What kind of parent are you to yourself? How are you parenting yourself? Are you a loving, caring parent? Are you a very difficult parent with this setting bar very, very high? Are you complacent? What kind of parent are you to yourself? This is what we're going to deep dive in today and why it's important to ask yourself that question. Before we do so, as you know, I encourage you to sign up to my website, hypnocoach.ca, so you get the latest invitation to free events and my newsletter every week.
She lives in the wonderful world of the state of hypnosis and finds hidden gems in your subconscious mind. She laughs, she loves, she breathes, goes deep, transforms, transitions, and laughs again. More than anything, she knows that it's just a belief.
I came about to think about that topic because it was Mother's Day. And there's something in me not so fond of all those calendar days like Mother's Day, Father's Day, Valentine's, Christmas, New Year. Like, there's somewhere in me that I find these a bit artificial in what they're trying to convey. But I understand the idea behind it. And it was Mother's Day. And for once, in many, many years, I was looking forward to spend time with my mother. I was looking forward to connect and have quality time with my mother. I just couldn't understand why. I felt a kind of a premonition that this time with her would be important. Indeed, it had been very, very valuable. I was visiting one of my aunt with my mother, her sister. And we started to have a very interesting conversation. And somehow my mother started to talk about a very difficult moment in her life where we were, and I'm going to talk about myself. I don't want to talk about my sister or my brothers. It really, I felt we all had that same attitude, but maybe not. So I'll just speak for myself, but I was pushing my mother to get out of the state and the difficulties she was in, telling her, okay, that's enough now, get over it. Straighten up and live your life and forget about all this. And, you know, she was not going at a speed that I wanted her to go. It was bothering me to see that she was going through very difficult moment and that she was not reacting the way I would have wanted her to react, basically. And she really saw that and she pushed me aside. And again, I'm talking again for me, I think it's important, and went her own way to do what she had to do in order to heal and to get over this thing that was happening in her life at her pace. And this triggered a very interesting conversation because this was the first time that I was able to look at her story as a transition and transformation story. I only saw one part of it, which was the more visible part. I did not understand at the time that it took her so long to get over it, so long in my view, to my liking, because it was not a one event thing. It was a deeper thing she was healing. It was a deeper thing that she was going through. It was her own transition and transformation. It was herself becoming herself in her 50s. This was like 20 years ago. And at the time I was in my 30s and I just couldn't understand that. I didn't have that understanding of what is a transition, a transformation in someone's life. I couldn't read the signs. All I was seeing is my mother, who was taking so long to get over something I wanted her to get over with. You may say, well, this is not a lot of empathy for your mother, and you're probably right. I was impatient for her to move forward. But this conversation we had this weekend made me realize that she paved the way to my own transformation model very subconsciously. And this is so important because everything in our subconscious gets recorded. It really gets recorded whether we want it or not. And we go into it and use it in so many different ways without realizing it. So when I built my transition and transformation model, I really copied a lot of the things that my mother did when she was in her 50s, going through her own transition and transformation. This thing about pushing people aside and doing things your way. This is something I've done very drastically. Getting resources, outside sources, and different kinds of resources. This is something I've done, and I've implemented in my model as well. Not oversharing about what is happening, like not being talking about it, but just going through the motion and doing what we have to do. This conversation with my mother, I believe, was the first time that I saw something that was right under my nose for the past 20 years that I had never really saw. It's true. Maybe my siblings had seen it, but we never shared about that. But when you are in an addiction world, like I was, when you are disconnected, like I was, you don't pick up on those signs because you're so into your own world, into your own pain, and you're struggling with yourself, and anybody else's pain around you or difficulty becomes unbearable. I just couldn't bear my mother's suffering. And I needed, I guess, very selfishly, her to be there for me. And I just couldn't bear what I was seeing. So this brought me into thinking about, there's a lot of the work that I do with my clients that are about the inner child. And the conversation I had with my mom was, wow, you knew all this, what you were going through, but the little girl that you were had so much catch up to do with the woman that you were at the time. And she said, you know what? This is absolutely true. All the work that I've done was to heal the little girl in me. All the suffering and the pain came from this little girl and how she saw the world and how she experienced the world. And I had to bring her into a more contemporary world. So this is exactly what I do all the time, you know, with my clients. So we go, you know, to a time where beliefs formed, and we see that we no longer are at this time when we formed that belief. Therefore, we no longer need to think like we were thinking at that time or believing what we were believing at that time. If it's true that, you know, we felt stupid or incompetent or not intelligent or not smart, you know, when we presented in front of a class and everybody laughed at us, for some reason, or we thought that they were laughing at us for some reason. Well, now, 30 years later, 40 years later, we're no longer in that classroom. There is no reason, real reason, for us to believe what we believed at that time. But the subconscious mind recorded everything. And because it recorded everything, sometimes it plays it over and over and over when we find ourselves in situations that are reminding us or triggering us like it did at that time. So when we work with the inner child, we learn to be a parent. What we come to believe is that we are the best parent for our inner child. We are the best parent because we know this child more than anyone else. We know the deepest secret, desire, dream, needs. And we can any age and any time, reconnect with that little child and give the affection, the attention, the unconditional love that this child needed once. And this is very powerful. So one of the exercises that we do is really to talk with that little child. I had a client once, she says, okay, you know, she had a lot of work to do with her inner child, and she chose a doll. She said, I don't know why I chose a doll to represent the little me. And she said, one night I was urged to put that doll with my kids' dolls. And I said, good night. And I went to my bed and I was wondering, why did I do that? That's a weird thing. Why did I do that? Because I really encourage people to play the game and, you know, go along with whatever the little child is asking. And she said, oh, it suddenly clicked. Then when I was a child, I could never go and sleep at friend's place. My parents never wanted me to sleep at friend's place, to sleep over. And all my other friends were going, and I felt really apart, and I felt rejected, and I felt, you know, I didn't have the right to do what my other friends could do. And it felt really, really sad. And I was really, really angry and sad that I couldn't go and sleep over at my friends. And so she allowed the little doll that was the representation of her little her to sleep with the other dolls, sleep with friends. And she said, wow, it's kind of working. It's very bizarre. It may seem even awkward or odd, but it is really working. I had another person that says, you know, every night now I put my little me to bed and I say goodnight and I give a hug and a kiss. Because my parents, you know, would never do that with me. They didn't want to spoil me, apparently, and they wanted me to become independent and strong. And so they would never come and hug me at night. And I really, really needed that. And I really, really wanted that. And it's legitimate, right? It's age appropriate for a child to want to have and to be cuddled and reassured before going to bed. And so she did it. The little her. And it was very soothing. So there's a lot of ways you can help your inner child to grow and recognize when it's you, the 2022 woman or man who is speaking, and when it's the little you that shows up. And when it's the little you and you realize, wow, this is the little me that doesn't feel competent, smart, good enough, strong, that feels weak, small. It's not me in 2022. I know I'm not small. I know I am important. I know I am enough. But the little me doesn't know it fully yet. So I'm just going to talk to the little me. And under hypnosis, we do that, and it's very powerful. It's really to meet that inner child and have those fantastic conversation, healing conversation in a way. Allowing this child to feel the love, the importance. We also really take the time book at the young self, young version of self, and really see all the strengths and beauty. And often what we find is that there was a place in time where we had very healthy beliefs about ourselves and about life. And then we carried those until late in life. And then society, culture programmed us in a different way. And we've lost sight of those healthy beliefs. I have a good example lately of a client where she was chosen in leadership positions wherever she was when she was a child. She was like self-elected leader. People would also choose her always to be the leader. She was a natural leader, and she thought it was very easy to lead people. And she was doing that very naturally. But because society is always telling us it's so hard to be a leader, it's so hard to be a manager, it's so hard, she started to believe that it was hard. And when she reconnected with that younger version of herself, up to her 20s or her early 20s, she realized that she always had the healthy belief that managing people was easy, being a leader was easy, it was natural for her. And so simply what she had to do is just to deprogram from what society is really telling us and what we read everywhere, right? It's hard, it's tough. You need so much of you to be a good leader today. You need to go to XYZ courses, almost having implants to become the right leader, that we end up believing it. But she realized that she doesn't need to believe all this crap because, and sorry for my French, but she was already a natural born recognized leader. She just have to connect back to that healthy belief she's always had. So being a good parent to herself is really reminding her that she is a natural leader. People select her easily. It's easy for her to be a leader. She loves it. It's easy. It's natural. And just reconnecting to that time in life where she felt that way and, you know, ignoring all the noise that we're receiving now from society. And in my 6 months Unlimited coaching program, we do a lot of that, reconnecting with the healthy beliefs we had once that we have let go because simply society kind of programmed us in a different way. And when I say that, I think it's good intentions behind that, but the good intentions behind, especially the subconscious mind really records everything. So it does record when you're in the business world and you're on all the platforms or in the magazine or in the newspapers or everywhere, that it is so hard to be a leader. You need a zillion talent and so many things you should be changing about yourself to be a good leader, that we forget not everybody have those beliefs. Like, a lot of people have very healthy beliefs about leadership, and they grew up with healthy beliefs about their leadership style or who they are. They just have forgotten about it because, you know, other programs have overruled that one. So basically, it's really reconnecting at what is strong within you. And this was part of the conversation with my mother as well, because she recognized that as a child, she knew there were things that she knew, but she had forgotten about herself. And she decided in her 50s that she would do whatever it takes to go back and do this work. But of course, she didn't tell us that because I don't think she realized it at the time. It's afterward. And of course, we were so adamant, and I was so adamant at pushing her and saying, "Mom, get it. Come on. Like, that's enough, right? Okay, it's been a year now. Can we talk about something else? Can we do something else? Can we go somewhere else? Why don't you let go of that, right?" But now I realize that it was foolish of me to do that. And I had no idea of really what she was going through. So being a good mother and a good parent to me today, what it means, I know deeply inside what Jenny-Len needed when she was a child that she didn't get. It's no drama. Every kid's had needs that weren't meant. This is probably 99% of the planet. So I can absolutely give that to her today. But also, being a good parent is being able to see the beauty that was in me and that was in you when you were a child. What was beautiful about you when you were a child? I can say in my case, it was my joy. My mom was her creative side, like the artistic side. And she had many other ones, but that was one she really had. And me, it was my joy and how I was a lovable child. I was a very lovable child and joyful and easy. And I need to reconnect to that. And I need to say to the little gentleman, it's fine. You can absolutely be what you always have been from a strength perspective. I'm allowing you this. I'm giving you the opportunity to be joyful again, giving you the opportunity to be lovable again, giving you the opportunity to dream of everything you dreamed when you were a child to keep those dreams alive. And the ones, you know, the things that you've lost along the way, let's reconnect to this. So being a good parent to me is really recognizing that as a child, I had needs, which is legitimate. And some of them were met and some of them were not met. And that's normal story for everybody. There's nothing abnormal or dramatic about it in my case. And it's still time for me to give what I wanted at that time. And because I know Jeanne-Hélène more than anybody else, and I can reconnect to her because now I'm able to connect again. I was really able to connect as a child, and then, you know, alcohol and other addictions and life and trauma brought me to disconnect myself, to not feel the pain or numb the pain. But now I know how connected she was as a child, and I can absolutely bring her back to that state, which is the healthy part of me. So how good of a mother, how good of a father, how good of a parent, how good of a caregiver are you to yourself? Think about how much you know yourself. Think about, take a few minutes, go inside, and just take the time to meet that inner child, the little version of you. And I just want you to look at the beautiful things that were in this child. Look at what was beautiful. You know, sometimes people will say, oh, I see the hair, beautiful curly hair, beautiful eyes, skin. And when I look closer, I see the gentleness, the curiosity, the liveliness. I see this and I see that. Just take the time to deeply, authentically connect to the beauty of this child. And take this beauty into your world today. Make it alive. Make it a reality. Bring it in your world today and see how it feels every day to wake up, feeling that joy, that liveliness, that smartness, that gentleness, whatever it was that you had that was precious when you were a child. That sometimes along the way, other programs came, and they came repetitively, which made you forget about some of the very healthy programs you had beforehand. So voila, this is JT. I hope it makes sense. If you have people around you going through the motion or a difficult moment and you feel like pushing them through, ask yourself, you know, how is this bothering me? How is this annoying me? How is this difficult for me? And let the person go through their own motion. You can offer tips and things, but let them go through their own motions at their own pace and take time to reconnect to that little child in you that has needs. And you can absolutely, you know, fill up those needs and give those needs to that little child inside of you. So voila, this is my episode for today. I really, really encourage you to book this 30 minutes call. If you feel that sometimes you understand thing, you know thing, but despite that, you're unable to act differently. Often, just a little bit of work with your inner child will move things like you wouldn't imagine it does. It's very powerful, it's very easy, and it's fun because you're connecting to what's strong in you, what's beautiful in you. You're connecting to your inner essence, something that is very raw and very true inside of you. So I really encourage you to book that 30 minutes call. Until next time, as you know, it's just a belief.